Isaiah chapter 53. And I'll read verses 5 and 6 once more. Isaiah 53, verses 5 and 6. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Let's seek God's face briefly once more. Lord, show us your Son, we pray. Show him to us in all the fearful sufferings for his people and in the true glory that belongs to him. Show us the price that he paid for our salvation, and show us that salvation in him, which we may have and many of us do have because of his shed blood. Lord, hear our cry. Bless us now by your Spirit, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. When something is diseased, or when something is broken, it sometimes feels like everyone has a remedy. I hope you won't ever make the mistake of announcing that you are unwell on social media. You will receive within moments, however many friends or followers or whatever you may have, everybody has an idea as to how you can get better or how you can fix what is broken. There's a medicine, often one that is unknown to the medical establishment. There's a diet that will fix you entirely. There's a system that you can follow and everything will be okay within weeks. There's a guru that you need to hear about. There's a doctor or a specialist who'll be able to fix you. There's a hack that you can find. There's a tool that you can use. Some of you know that my laptop broke fairly recently. I was actually surprised that no one recommended an essential oil to pour into it that would restore it within moments. But that is typical of our life, isn't it? As soon as something's unwell, as soon as something is broken, everybody's got an idea of how to fix it. Hundreds, perhaps even thousands of people who are absolutely persuaded of any number of absolutely contradictory and often exclusive ideas. Whatever you do, put that damaged technology, that wet computer, put it in rice. The next call, whatever you do, don't put it in rice. You'll end up with rice soup. Somebody says, rub this on the spot. Someone says, whatever you do, don't touch that stuff, but take this supplement and you'll be well. And you get this din of voices then that flies in from everywhere because everybody else knows what is best for you. But what about real healing? Not your stomach ailment, not your joints, not this cut or that scratch, not this affliction or that weakness. What about healing for your whole humanity? What about well-being for your soul and your body? Is there anything that can make a sinner well? Is there anything that can restore you to true and profound spiritual life and health and peace? Isaiah tells us about a sovereign remedy. By sovereign remedy, I'm using old-fashioned language for a medicine that fixes everything. Isaiah tells us about a medicine that fixes everything. He tells us, and we know that he speaks the truth, because he is God's servant. And those words are recorded in our Bible so that we can be assured that we have truth here. This is a voice then that cuts through all the clamour and the din of this world, because this world will offer you 1,000 remedies for your spiritual ailments as well. Some of you have tried them. And you found them empty. Some of you perhaps are still trying then. And I'm telling you now, they will never bring you peace with God. When Ashley and Danny gave their testimonies to us a couple of weeks ago, they talked about how they had tried to fill the hole in their soul, how they'd seen some of the issues in the world and tried to make them right and then realised that they weren't right themselves, how they had desires and appetites for something substantial and real that could never be satisfied in this world outside of God's mercy. And this is the remedy that they found. This is the remedy that every true Christian has. It is a sovereign remedy. And it's part of a sequence that is written here in Isaiah 53 of costly favour for guilty sinners. Verse 5. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. And that's the phrase I want to concentrate on with you this morning. By his stripes we are healed. They sometimes speak of the National Health Service, don't they? That it's free at the point of need. Salvation is free at the point of need. But it cost nothing less than the wounds and the bruises and the punishment and the stripes of the servant of God. So what then is this medicine that can make your soul well? What is this medicine that can transform your whole being now and eternally? The nature of the medicine is described as the stripes of the servant of God. And stripes here are wounds and sufferings. That's the meaning of the language. Blows that cut. Perhaps most of us have been spared those kind of strikes. We don't know all that that means, but they're talking about deep and painful blows. In Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 6, the Lord speaks to his people in the Old Testament, saying that from the sole of the foot to the head, there's no soundness in the body, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. It's part of a package of distress and affliction. These are actual agonies. This is not a metaphor. No, there are going to be wounds and bruises, crushings. There's going to be a punishment that falls. There are going to be these wounds that cut. And they are going to be the wounds of Jesus of Nazareth, the Christ of God. He is the servant of whom Isaiah speaks, pointing forward to him. In fact, if you look back from the gospel records of the death of Jesus Christ, and then you look forward from the prophecies of a man like Isaiah, you see the prophecies and the reality, and they meet perfectly at every point. This is Jesus Christ of whom Isaiah speaks, and everything here centres then on this man of sorrows, this afflicted one, the one whom men thought was nothing, but God had sent in order to suffer. It is he who is the hope of your healing. It is by his stripes that we are healed. That's the nature of the medicine. Who are the recipients of the medicine? Who takes this sovereign remedy? By his stripes we are healed. Now, of whom does Isaiah speak? You look in verse 6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. The medicine is not for good people. Just like the medicine that you take isn't for well people. You don't go to the doctor because you feel well, do you? You go to the doctor because you feel sick. And this sovereign remedy is appointed not for those who are righteous, not for those who think that they're okay, not for those who believe that they are good enough for God, but for those who, like Isaiah, are ready to say, we have turned off the path of righteousness like a wandering sheep. We've gone in our own way. We've done what we wanted. The Lord Jesus said himself, when the Pharisees of his day, the self-righteous religious men and women of his day, when they accused him, he said, I haven't come to call the righteous but sinners to repentance. I've come to call the needy, to be made full. I've come to be to call the dead to have life, the sick to be made well. Why is this so significant? Because it is by his stripes that we are healed. You see, sinner could point either way. You and I, we deserve the punishment that the sin bearer suffers. It is for us, because this is what we deserve. This is the weight that would fall upon you and will fall upon you unless you are trusting in this Jesus. He is our substitute. He is the one who takes our place in order to save us from the sins that we have committed. And if you are to be made well, then this man must be wounded, and wounded on your behalf. He has not come because you're doing okay. He has not come to just make up a little bit of the ground that you lack. He has come because you have wandered from God. He has come because you've gone in your own way. He has come because you deserve to suffer the fearful punishments of hell on account of the sins that you have committed against the God of heaven. And he's come to bring you the medicine that can make you well. What is the effect of this medicine? What happens when a sin-sick soul takes Jesus Christ? By his stripes we are healed. See, everything that caused the Saviour to suffer is removed from us when he suffers in our place. That means that the sin that you have committed, with its guilt, with its shame, with its punishment, all of those things are taken away. That is the healing of which Isaiah speaks. And it's the language of wholeness. It's the language of complete restoration. Let me tell you a couple of other places where Isaiah uses this language. The first is in chapter 19 and verse 22 of his prophecy. I'll read it for you. The Lord will strike Egypt. He will strike and heal it. They will return to the Lord, and he will be entreated by them and heal them. And then again in Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 26, the prophet uses the language there again. Isaiah 30 verse 26. Moreover, the light of the moon will be as the light of the sun, and the light of the sun will be sevenfold, as the light of 7 days, in the day that the Lord binds up the bruise of his people and heals the stroke of their wound. So these words, this language, this imagery is constantly pointing us toward a day when God shows mercy to his people and to all the peoples of the earth. When he restores people to himself. When through his Messiah, his servant, his Christ, his anointed one, the breach between God in his holiness and men and women in our sinfulness is closed up and all things are made well. It is what we might call messianic fullness. That is this healing. So consider then the strength of the medicine, because you need to understand what this healing accomplishes. The nature of the medicine, it's the stripes of Jesus Christ, the wounds and sufferings of God's servant. The recipients, that's us, sinners who are sick and dead and wounded and lost. The effect of the medicine is to heal us, and you need to understand its strength, because Isaiah is emphatic. Healing has been accomplished for us. It is not the language of possibility, and it is not the language of probability. It is the language of something that is once and for all and fully accomplished. Your healing has been done. Your salvation has been established, and nothing has been left out. It is a healing that can address your spiritual death and your spiritual disease. Now, normally we would probably talk about those in the other order, wouldn't we? Once you're diseased, you become dead. But dead people don't need to worry about disease, because they're already dead. And that's really our state by nature. We are dead as well as diseased. And until there is life, we don't need to worry about spiritual disease. And the wonder of this medicine, this is why I call it a sovereign remedy. The wonder of this medicine is it can bring life to those who are dead. Now, do you have such a medicine as that? I'm not talking about a defibrillator where there's still enough oxygen in the blood if you can just get the heart started, or blowing through the mouth in order to try and make sure that there's some oxygen entering in. I'm talking about someone who's been dead. Do you have a medicine for them? The Bible calls us people who are dead in our trespasses and sins. It is unembarrassed and straightforward in describing us as in need of life. Humanly speaking, hopeless. But Jesus Christ has a healing for sinners. We can be made alive. We can obtain peace with God. Our transgressions can be taken away. Our iniquities can be made straight. Our sins can be washed clean. You, no matter how far out you are, no matter what you've done, no matter what you've believed or not believed, what you've done or not done, where you've been, how you've lived, the sin that may be clinging to your soul even this morning, a dead man can be made alive because of Jesus Christ. That's a medicine indeed. That's a remedy that we need. That we can be brought near to God. We can be brought into his family. We can be brought out of the grave, spiritually speaking, and restored to God. But there's something more to it than that. You might say, what more could there be? Because the life that we have in Christ, the healing that he bestows, not only heals us from spiritual death, but goes on healing us from spiritual disease. Christian brother, Christian sister, don't you find that there are spiritual viruses in this world? Don't you find there are bacteria that infect and assault your system? Don't you find that there are still trials and struggles? We are a spiritually afflicted people. What's the cure? Having been made alive, how do we stay healthy? How do we get healthy? How do we overcome those assaults upon our spiritual well-being? It is still by his stripes that we are healed. There never is any other remedy than Christ and him crucified, and the power of his death and then of his resurrection life brought into our experience by the inward working of the Holy Spirit. Christian, do you suffer with the virus of unbelief? Do you suffer from the virus of doubt? Is it all true? Can I believe these things? Do you suffer from the sickness of fear? Always wondering what's going to happen next and what's around the next corner and how you're going to be able to cope. Do you suffer from temptation? You know, you're in an environment where there are constant diseases floating around. You could breathe them in at any moment. There's an affliction, as it were, on every surface. Do you suffer from grief that you cannot seem to escape from? Are there afflictions that trouble your heart? Are there confusions in this fallen world? Is there bitterness of soul, perhaps, that sometimes you wonder if you're not being treated in the way that you should, even by God himself? Is there anger that bubbles up? Is there a harshness in your heart? In place of those fruits of the Spirit, which we were praying about on Wednesday evening, do you find the opposites, the fruits of a carnal heart that seem to somehow try and get their claws back into you? What heals you? Who heals you? It is by his stripes that we are healed. Christ not only makes us alive, but he makes us and keeps us increasingly spiritually healthy. The remedy for all of these things is in the Christ who died to conquer sin and death and hell. It is always by his stripes that you are healed. Your unbelief, you need to take it to the cross of Jesus Christ. Your doubts, you need to take them to the record of the resurrection. Your fears, you need to remember that this is the Christ, the Son of God, who was given for you. And if God has given you his Son, shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Your temptations, you look to the bleeding wounds of the Lamb of God and you think, how can I sin against him who died thus for me? Your griefs, you find them in the sympathy of a man who was grieved beyond calculation as he dies on the tree. The afflictions, they're nothing compared to the wounds of Christ for me. My confusions, oh yes, but there is certainty. My bitterness, how can I be bitter when I have received such a gift as the Son of God? My anger, oh God, forgive me that I have sinned in such a way that this should be the need that I have of a Saviour. My harshness, oh God, he laid down his life for me. Whatever it may be, brother, sister, there's a remedy for it in the wounds of Christ. All the consequences of the fall are taken away by the death of the Lamb of God. That's a sovereign remedy. It is utter restoration. Whatever you have to face, whatever you have to battle, there is enough in Christ, spiritual life now and forever. The dominion of your sin is broken by the Christ who died for you when you put your faith in him. And the diseases of your soul may all be cured as you look to him and apply his blood to your heart. How is it made then, this medicine? It's a Calvary compound. All his humiliations and all his sufferings. You think of what it cost Christ to make this medicine for you. He was, is, Son of God, the Eternal One. And he took flesh and blood in order that he might obey and suffer as a man. Why did Jesus Christ come into this world? In order that he might make a sacrifice for sins. In the very taking of our humanity, he was equipping himself to be wounded for our transgressions, to be bruised for our iniquities, to take upon himself the chastisement for our peace, and to heal us by his stripes. Every step he takes through this world, every grief that he endures, all the suffering in which he dies, that sacrificial offering, it is to Christ as crucified that you look in order to be healed. It cost Christ everything. He laid down his life that you might live. Your wellness comes at the price of his wounds. Your life comes at the cost of his death. So when you think of Christ's cross work, the work of the cross, when you think of the Saviour suffering and dying, you can read that in the Gospels, and it can and it should move you. But you can see somebody suffering on a news report. You can see someone in a documentary. You can look at somebody who's injured on the street and your heart can be wrenched. There's a proper human sympathy. There's a proper sorrow. There's an affection. There's a concern. Don't look at Jesus Christ just like that. You don't look at Jesus Christ and simply say, oh, that's terrible. That's awful. His suffering is costly because he's paying a price. He is broken in order that we might be made whole. He dies to triumph over sin and death and hell. He is not conquered at the cross. He is conquering. That is why we have no crucifix, because our Christ, having died, has risen again. That is why we have a Saviour who sits enthroned at the right hand of God. When we look back at the cross, we see him at the very depths of the humiliation by which he accomplished this salvation. It was for the purpose of your healing, Christian, that Jesus Christ took flesh and blood, suffered and died. And when you look at the cross and when you come to the supper, it is not then a merely human sympathy that you need to feel, but a true faith in him who loved you and gave himself for you. And that brings us to the application of the medicine. How do you get this healing? How do you obtain this blessing in your soul? How do you receive such favour from heaven? How would you feel if I said you've got to put everything you own in the box on the side of the wall? What if I told you you need to pay £1 million? What if I said you need to perform some kind of penance? What if I said you need to follow a certain set of rules, but if you mess up, you're lost? What if I told you that you need to perform certain rituals? Some of you might be saying, well, tell me what I need to do. Others of you might be saying, I can never do those things. I don't have that much money. I'm not that good. I can't do what's required of me. Remember what we said. Free at the point of need. How do you receive this medicine? It is by faith. It's reaching out an empty hand and receiving what God has provided in Christ Jesus. And I want to urge you as we conclude this morning to drink Christ down by immediate faith. Don't wait. Don't postpone it. Don't say that you'll do it at some other time. You must look to Jesus Christ only as he suffers and dies upon the cross. There is your salvation and in no other. And let me warn you that if you add anything to this sovereign remedy, you turn it into a poison. A little bit of my righteousness, that'll kill you. A little bit of religion, that'll destroy you. A few rituals, sprinkling as a baby, baptism, coming to the Lord's Supper. Maybe, oh, if I can drink enough and eat enough. If you add anything to this bottle, it becomes a poison. It must be and only can be that by his stripes we are healed. Not all your efforts, not all your sufferings, not all your desires, not all your rituals can add one thing to what Jesus Christ has accomplished. Drink by faith now, this morning. Trust Jesus Christ who suffered and died, and you will be well. You will be made alive. You will know the blessings of God's great mercy toward you if you trust in him this day. Drink it by immediate faith and take it by constant meditation. In one sense, this is a medicine. Once you've taken it, all is well. In another sense, I want you to keep applying it by constant meditation. My friends, how do you go on enjoying the fruits of Christ's cross work? How do you go on walking closely with God? How do you go on overcoming the sins that still assault you, the spiritual uncleanness that seems sometimes to cling to you? You still don't add anything in. You come back to Christ and you rub in, as it were, this finished work. For all your spiritual aches and pains, for all your spiritual afflictions and diseases, keep the cross of Jesus Christ before your eyes. Perhaps better, keep the Christ who died on the cross before your eyes. Why? Because it is by his wounds that you are healed. So do you desire to be well? Do you want to be alive? Do you want to be spiritually healthy? Then you must now come to Jesus Christ. If from the depths of your soul you long to know peace with God, then come and put your faith in Jesus Christ this morning. If you're wrestling with sin, if you're struggling with guilt, if you're feeling shame, if you're confessing your weakness, if, Christian, you're here this morning saying, but I am not worthy. When were you ever? And it is to Christ that you apply once more. Keep your eyes fixed upon him. And praise God, you've been given a way to do it. The Lord's table. It's not another sacrifice. It points back to the one once for all sacrifice for sins. You could eat that entire loaf and it wouldn't heal your soul. Wouldn't do much good to your stomach either, I shouldn't think. You could drink all the wine that will be distributed and it wouldn't bring you one step closer to God. But the body that was broken and the blood that was shed on Calvary, it is that which does you good. And these are the means by which you look to Jesus Christ by faith. My friend, if you want to get well, take Christ Jesus. If you want to stay well, hold fast to Jesus Christ. It is by his stripes that sinners like us are healed. Amen.